Welcome to ECB's weekly sermon podcast. ECB is an international church in Bangkok, Thailand, with dozens of nationalities worshiping together. We invite you to connect with us from wherever you are through our website, ecb.asia, or our mobile app. And now we pray that you are blessed by this week's sermon.
Well, today we are beginning a new series from the Book of Psalms. And the title of this series is Songs for the Journey. Songs for the Journey. Some of you will remember the perfect Sony Walkman. What you would do is you would get that double tape recorder. Sorry, this will make sense a little bit later to those in the front row, but double tape recorder, and you would sit there on the radio and you would wait for your song to come on, or you would record off the other tape and you'd press it really quick to capture the song. And then you would take this mixed track. It was a lot harder in our days, just to let you know. You'd take this mixed track and you would gift it to somebody else as like a soundtrack for them to listen to. Now, today we have Spotify and a lot of other platforms that help us do this, tools that help us do this. Sometimes when we go on a road trip as a family, we'll put together a playlist. And that playlist has songs that are thematic for the journey we're on. And that's the intention of this new series that we are starting this morning. We're going to be unpacking the richness of a psalm for three Sundays. And in that psalm, it's going to be a song that is offered to you as a sacred companion for your journey through life. Psalms is a collection of books. It's actually five books all put together, and there's lots and lots of songs in there, poems in there. They're Spirit-inspired, and what that means is the Holy Spirit encountered a human being journeying along in faith and then inspired this writing. And they are a gift from those people to you, to myself, to the church. These songs, as that gift, are something we want to gift to you and then have you add to a much larger playlist for your own journey in life. So before we continue on, I want to invite you to pray with me. God, you are God. And yes, we state that, but that changes everything. Not only are you the one who has created all things, but you sustain all things. And not only do you sustain all things, but you are king. You are sovereign over everything, including our time right now. So we recognize, remember that you are here. We submit to your authority, your movement. And Holy Spirit, you are so welcome to be moving in and through us, opening our eyes to see you more clearly, drawing our hearts to love you more dearly, and our whole being to follow you more nearly. We pray this all in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus. Amen. What is our first song for the journey? The first song for the journey is from Psalm 93, and it's a psalm that declares God's undisputed kingship. It's a song that cries out, God's got you. Now, before I was born, before you were born, there was a different song that was shaping us, and it's a song that carries us along in life. And what is this song? It's a song of wondering, am I safe? Am I secure? Who's got me? And from that day on, you and I have been trying to answer the root of that question. And we've been doing this by reaching out and grasping towards different things. Now, that starts in a very planned way where you do it with your parents and siblings and things like that. But then eventually, you begin to reach out and grasp a hold of life with your own two hands. And there's this control, this desire to control. But at the urge of it is, I want to make sure things are going to be okay. Now, there are times in life when we believe that we are indeed in control, right? But then there's times in life where we are well aware that we are not in control. And Psalm 93 is a different song. It's a song to play through your journey. It's a song that declares the truth of who is ultimately in control. So I want you to have a listen first to this song, Psalm 93, just five verses long. The Lord reigns. He's robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty. He's armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established, firm, and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters. Mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. The song has a shape to it, and it's a shape that we're going to go through in three different parts. It begins with eternity past, yesterday, establishing God's legitimate kingship. Then it's going to acknowledge the messy middle of where we are today, the present reality, inviting you to turn to God in that. And finally, it's going to call us to reach ahead to the certain future of tomorrow, where the reign of God as sovereign king will ultimately and indefinitely and forever restore order, beauty, and life. So to anchor us in the past, the psalmist begins with a declaration. He says the following. He says, "The Lord reigns." Now this is actually talking about in the past tense, but it's also helping us to know this isn't about convincing you. It's about simply declaring or stating what is. It's to move our heart to say, okay, the Lord reigns. And as you read God's word, whenever you see Lord all capitalized, it should signal you to recognize that that's his personal name. That's the name Yahweh. And so this isn't leaving any room or openness to say, well, I think a God reigns, or maybe your God reigns. It is to say, the God that has met us and giving us his name, Yahweh, reigns. It's as though saying it's clear without a doubt. And then the psalmist continues on and he says, he, God, is robed in majesty. Yahweh's kingship is identified with this royal robe that he's wearing. Now, to understand that, a royal robe in this time when the psalmist was writing, the robe was like signifying, hey, that guy has the legitimate authority. If I see whoever has this throne, that's the one with authority. Now, as many of you knew, I grew up in the wonderful country of Kenya, and there was a symbol there culturally called a rungu. It was like a staff or a club that was held in your hand. And this was actually from the Maasai tribe, I believe, that was passed along. And so whoever held the rungu in their hand had the authority. So again, as siblings, you know we were all trying to get a hold of that, that rungu in our hands. So there's a monument in Nairobi that shows this, a picture of somebody's hand holding this symbol of legitimate authority. That's the picture that is given with this robe in Psalms. It's the sign that God is the one who reigns. And the psalmist then adds the following. He says, the Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Not only is goodness and beauty the testament to God's reign, but he's also armed with strength. So when we read through the Psalms, there's this important technique that is used. A lot of poetry uses rhyming, right? The Hebrew people, when they were using poetry, they would use that as well, but they also rhymed concepts or ideas. So you would put together two different phrases, and this is important if you go through this book of Psalms to recognize it. Two different phrases that say the same thing in a different way so that you get a bigger understanding and maybe it hits you at different parts. And that's what is happening here when the psalmist continues and says, the Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. But he adds another piece to this, another dimension, and he says, indeed, indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Indeed. Indeed, creation itself reveals the robe of majesty. It's as though you have been invited to head out to Khao Yai or up to Chiang Mai and get into the mountains where there's no lights, and you look up at the sky and you see the stars up there, and it's like that is the robe that adorns God and declares his kingship. So the word indeed there. This morning, as we are sitting here together, something incredible is happening. You and I are going to travel 1,000,000 kilometers. Now, that has nothing to do with the length of my sermon being extra long, but this is just the reality of where we are on this planet that we call home. So right now, as you sit here on Earth, beneath you, the Earth is rotating at 1,600 kilometers per hour. That's faster than any airplane that flies today. 1,600 kilometers per hour. And it's a speed so smooth, you don't even feel it. Otherwise, you'd have to be grabbing onto your chair. And our planet is not only rotating like that, it's also orbiting around the sun at 107,000 kilometers an hour. We are zipping around the sun, and it still takes a year to get all the way around it. That's not all. We are racing through the Milky Way galaxy at roughly 828,000 kilometers per hour. So think about this. At this very moment, you're traveling at unimaginable speeds. Speeds that create this dance of movement of nearly 1,000,000 kilometers per hour that's got a perfect precision to it, held in this gravitational choreography. And it allows just the right tilt of the Earth, 23.5 degrees. Why? So that we have this stable climate. We have seasons. We have something that can sustain the rhythms we need in life. The distance from the sun, the angle of the tilt, the velocity, and its atmosphere all align with this impossible precision to support your life. We read at the very beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Fast forward to the Apostle Paul, and he writes in Colossians, he says, for everything, everything was created by him. In heaven, on earth, things we see, things we don't see, whether thrones or dominions, rulers, authorities, everything has been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. This is declaring God's undisputed right to reign. And the question is not, is Yahweh the king? The question is actually, do you accept that truth? Are you intentionally allowing his kingship to shape and form you every moment of every day? The psalmist is going to continue, and he rounds it off. He says, your throne was established long ago. You, God, are from all eternity. Once again, two ideas put together to complement each other, helping to call us to a bigger understanding of what he's doing. From the beginning, God was and is and will always be. Even though we are traveling at speeds that should vaporize us, there's this beautiful fragility that requires us to acknowledge that God is king. So, what does the first part of this psalm call us to do? Well, it calls us to anchor ourselves, like setting down an anchor that holds a boat steady in its place. It calls us to anchor ourselves in the past, in the certain reality that God is king. Here's a very practical invitation for you. Start your morning off before you do anything else, especially before you touch your cell phone. Start your morning off by getting down on your knees. Maybe even lie flat on the ground. And what you're doing is you're having your body represent the reality that you are held by God as king. And this is a slow shaping and forming. It's something that will begin to shape the way you go through your day. So that's an invitation to try that for the next 30 days. Begin to do that every single morning and have that shape and form you. Now, you may say, well, I've done that and life still has all kinds of chaos and problems that hit us. Well, remember, this is a Holy Spirit-inspired psalm, and so God knows that not only is the fact that he is king a reality that we grapple with, but the present messy middle that we experience, the today of life, is also something that the psalmist acknowledges and calls us to. So we move from yesterday to today, our present experience, and here's what the psalmist says. He says, "The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves." Directly behind me, kind of up in that direction, is a prayer room. And there are some people praying for you, for us, as we are gathered here this morning. It's an incredible gift. But on the back wall of that prayer room is a painting that whenever I'm in there and I'm praying with others or praying by myself, the painting always seems to just draw me to look at it. Now, what is this painting? I'm not going to show it to you. Why? Because I want you to know where the prayer room is. So go find it and look at the painting. But I'll describe it for you. It's a chaotic ocean scene with a massive wave that is crashing down on this tiny little boat. And there's light coming in from the side. But it's such a chaotic scene that it draws you to recognize something that is true of what we experience on a day-to-day basis. I want us to return to Genesis 1, something we may have passed over when we first read that. So God says that the deep void darkness was there and the Holy Spirit was hovering over it. This is a chaotic sea. It's an image of a chaotic sea. And God was, at the very beginning, hovering over this. And then what does he do? He creates beauty, life, and order out of that. And he separates the land and the ocean, gives us a space for there to be something we can stand on, something that is secure. Now, why do I mention this? Because for the Hebrew people, when they're writing in the Psalms, they're wanting you to have a picture of what culturally was their framework. And for them, the sea was a place of chaos, absolute chaos and destruction. And in fact, there was believed that there is a Leviathan or a sea monster. We read about this in the book of Job that is stirring up chaos in that area. These weren't sea-bearing people. These were people who stuck to the land for the most part. So that's kind of the worldview that is shaping them. During the COVID pandemic, as the world was altered forever, in certain ways, there was lockdowns, there was a loss of jobs, there was death of loved ones, there was changes to our patterns and rhythms of life. There was a mathematician from the UK named Kit Yates. Did some calculations that struck me during this time. Using the number of estimated cases of COVID and the size of the particles of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, Yates went on to estimate that there were about 2 quintillion, that's 2 × 10⁻¹⁸ power. I was going to write it, but it would have taken me a few more weeks to represent that. Seems like a lot, right? 2 quintillion. Of course, the world was altered with that. 2 quintillion particles. However, the size of the diameter of these particles is 100 nanometers. It's so small that if you collected the virus across the entire world for the full length of COVID and you put it into one tiny container, it would not even fill up a single Coke can. That's what threw our world off course. There's a fragility we have to be aware of in the life that we live. So the question is, do you have things under control? Particles that could be contained in a single soda can change everything. So the question, have you got this? Do you really? And so the psalmist uses these pounding waves as a symbol to say, hey, this is a reality of our life in the middle. It can feel like a chaotic ocean that we are engaged in. So we try to grasp for control, or we may despair and say, it's too big. I can't handle it. So I want to, with those words, bring us to a very familiar story. It's a well-known story that's recounted in three of the four Gospels. And it's a story of Jesus and his disciples crossing the lake in a boat, something that was very normal for them. Then I want you to think through both the psalm that is calling us to recognize the waves crashing in upon us, and the story that we know well. This isn't some simple miracle. This is God demonstrating his control of all things, his might over it. And so the psalmist, rather than calling us to just grasp harder, frantically run around, you saw a switch that happened in one of the disciples. I think it's Peter there, who says, we're going to die. But he points his yelling out towards Jesus, who's sleeping. Let's look, though, at the psalm. Actually, go back. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Okay, so we've had one verse that declares the power of the waves, and the second one declares God being stronger, more powerful, mightier. So turning to God in the messy middle of today is, in fact, what the majority of the book of the Psalms is. In these things that we call laments, these are crying out in the existence of the life we live today, and it's turning all of that into an expression towards the God that we serve. And so what I'm going to do is invite us to listen to a lament together. It's a lament of asking Jesus to wake up when he's sleeping in the boat. Because that's the question that would be ringing in our own hearts and minds at that point. Why are you sleeping? We're going to die, right? Just like the disciple declared. But I want you to think through what storm, what waves are crashing upon you right now. Perhaps it's hit you completely out of nowhere. Perhaps you had a part in it, and you've kind of helped to cause some chaos in the life that you live around you. And so listen to this song of lament and turn your attention to God in and through it.
Jesus, when you gonna wake up? When you gonna wake up and calm this raging sea? Jesus, when you gonna wake up? When you gonna wake up? How can you sleep when we're in need? Just one word from the Maker, in all the ways be still. Just one touch from the Healer, and all will be made well. So Jesus, when you gonna wake up? When you gonna wake up and calm this raging sea? Jesus, when you gonna wake up? When you gonna wake up? How can you sleep when we're in need? Just one word from the Maker, and all the ways will be made still. Just one touch from the healer, and all will be made well. Just one word from the maker, and all the ways will be made still. Just one touch from the healer.
When are you going to wake up, Jesus? Why are you sleeping? See, Jesus sleeping is not a picture of God for a moment off of his throne or asleep on the job. His sleeping is actually evidence of the upside down reality that Jesus was living in. Actually, better said, the right side up reality. Jesus could sleep in the middle of the storm because he was so firmly rooted in his Father's kingship that he could fall asleep in that space. The one who you anchor yourself to, the Lord who reigns, is the one who's here in the middle and he's present with you. The question is, when things hit, what do we do? Do we turn towards him or do we grasp for more control? And it is now that we are going to turn our attention to the last piece of this psalm. We turn our attention to the future and we begin to experience that now. So is tomorrow secure is the question that we ask in this place. So the first part of the song, Psalm 93, it established that God had a legitimate reign, a credible reign. He had a position to be reigning. But it didn't just leave it at that. We might be tempted. Oh, it also gave that he had the capacity. He has the ability to cause and move, and he has the strength to do so. So we may say he's credible. He's got the capacity. Let's follow that. But that is not a complete form of leadership or reigning. There's something deeply important missing there. In fact, if you just put those two together, it represents God's enemy, Satan. He had credible reason to reign when we rebelled and gave him our own allegiance. And he has a capacity to reign as well. So there's something missing. And here this as psalmist is going to draw that out. He says, your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. Psalm 93 ends with a picture of being under the rule and reign of God in a personal way that doesn't just have his capacity and his credibility, but it also speaks to his character. And you put those three together, and you've got a king worth following. It's a picture of a house, a new place that we live in, a new rule and a reign that we place ourselves underneath, and that guides our life going forward. Like the beginning of creation, God was hovering over the chaotic deep and spoke a word that brought life and beauty. Whose work was it? It was God's work out of his nature. And God's response to the disciples, it actually didn't depend on them doing everything correctly. In fact, it seems that they joined in on the chaos as the clip showed very clearly and the disorder. But once again, it wasn't their work. It was God's out of his nature that brought a calm to the storm, simply speaking words and bringing order in that space. These are his statutes. This is what holiness is. And the picture is that of a house for eternity to come, adorned and decorated with the essence of who God is. The Bible makes this very clear in the book of Revelation when it describes the home, our eternity, the space of what we will be in. And this is what he says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any what? No longer any sea. Many of us know that passage. We may have read it so many times. We're like, okay, no sea. I don't really know what is meant there. You should be thinking Psalm 93. You should be thinking Genesis 1. You should be thinking the Leviathan from Job, bringing this all together to be like, oh, there is a future where there is no more chaos, no more disorder, no more rebellion, no more death. And that is what is meant by that phrase there. The chaotic water and the disordered reality is no more. Here's the question. What song, brothers and sisters, is forming you in your journey in life? What do you do when you become aware that, in fact, you're actually not in control? Well, I want to invite you to allow this song, Psalm 93, to shape your life, moment by moment, so you are formed into the likeness of Christ. How do we do this? Well, we anchor ourselves in the past, in the certain rule and reign of God. He's the one who's holding this world together, even though we are spinning around at speeds we can't even conceptualize, and that's just a piece of the reality we live in. So we hold on to that. And then in the present reality of life, where we're standing in the middle, what do? We turn towards our God, and we bring him the expression of where we are at. That's two parts, right? There's a third part. We hold on to the future. And we hold on to the certain promise that is made evident in Jesus, who stood over that storm and with a word calmed it. And we know, hey, if you can do that and you've promised that the new heavens and new earth will have no more chaos and disorder and rebellion and death, then it is as good as finished. Now, to help you remember, what shape am I forming right here? The cross, right? So just keep this in mind as you journey through life and allow the shape of the cross to be what shapes and forms your journey through the song of Psalm 93. You may have noticed some decorations up here, right? What are these from? Easter. It's not because somebody forgot the memo to take them down that Easter is gone and we're going forward. Rather, there's something called Eastertide. Eastertide is this space between Easter Sunday all the way up to Pentecost, 50 days of time. And what has the church done with that space? They have invited us to continue to live into the truth of Easter, of Holy Week. So this is what we're going to do with this passage today and close it out in this way. Palm Sunday was a day of declaring that the king had arrived, sitting on a robe of sorts on his donkey coming into Jerusalem. What was the cry? Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus rides into your life and into my life, and he comes in as the declared king. Now, whether or not we see him as that is beside the point. We are called to anchor into the truth and allow him to be king. But Psalm 93 then calls our awareness to a time of storm, a time of tumultuous experiences, a time in the middle, the messy middle. So following the triumphal entry, we have the Last Supper, and we move to the Garden of Gethsemane, to the crowds taunting the king like the waves. Crucify him. The king is whipped. He's spit on. He's mocked. And then he's crucified. And like he is sleeping, he's nailed to the cross in his death and then buried in a tomb. And it's at this point that time he's crying out that says, hey, it looks like that the old enemy is actually stronger and he's defeated. They're trying to rob you of the truth of God's kingship. The chaotic seas of life that you're experiencing are well known to Jesus and to his followers. So we turn to the king who's lifted on the cross, and we look to him who actually cried out a lament on the cross, and he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Straight out of the book of Psalms, he cries out a lament to his Father, who he knows is in control. And though it looks as though all is lost, Christ on the cross is actually doing a work in that space that we could never do for ourselves. Anchored into the firm foundation of that, and in the present moment, something is happening here. Psalm 93 then calls us to hold on to the unshakable, guaranteed future. And folks, this is far from wishful thinking. This is based on the fact that Jesus calmed the storm. And it is based on the fact that, yes, he was in the tomb. Yes, he willingly came into our lives, into the chaotic reality that is here. But as we wait from Friday until Sunday morning, and as Jesus lied dead in that tomb, not even death itself could contain our God and our King. Bursting forth, he rose to new life. All that is the essence of who God is, all of the control, the legitimate power, the trustworthiness, his statues, his holiness, they're all represented in this resurrection that comes forward. So brothers and sisters, this is reason to celebrate. This is a song worth turning on and having shape and form our life again and again and again. There's a very clear shape to it, and we want to invite that to match each moment of your day as you go through it. It is definitely a song that is worth listening, that God says, I've got you.
Thank you for tuning in to the ECB Sermon Podcast. Whether near or far, if you are looking for community or are in need of prayer, we welcome you to engage by sending us an email to office@ecb.asia. If God is calling you to support our ministries, you will find giving options on our website. And remember to join us next week. God bless you.